You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 180. And my guest on the show today is Lorena. Lorena's from Canada, as you'll hear. And when we do this format where we phone or Skype a guest and record the dream, the format means that I have not heard the dream before. So as you listen with me, you'll hear, because we've just recorded this, you'll hear me listening to Lorena's dream at the same time as you're listening to it. So you'll hear the whole process. My listening to the dream, the questions I ask her, building into it the conversation that we have and that whole process. Whereas some of our other formats, you'll hear that I've been talking to guests through writing, through email. And then obviously I've already analyzed the dreams before we bring them to the dream show. So two different formats, and this is this one. So you're listening with me for the first time to Lorena's long and detailed and quite stunning dream and going through it with me. And you'll hear Lorena begin to help us to understand what's happening in her life that is resonating with the dream. So this one goes deep. It brings out some wonderful stuff. It's a lovely teaching tool as well for those of you interested in how dreams relate to waking life and the kind of deep insight that we can get from them. It's also a beautiful story. So just before we pass you over to listen, I need to remember to give the website address, which is janetheresa.com. So you can listen to all episodes of The Dream Show at janetheresa.com, or you can always get the last 10 episodes on iTunes or on your podcast app on your iPhone. And also, of course, at janetheresa.com, you can get my books, my paperbacks, my ebooks. You can work out how to engage my professional services and all their various formats to talk to you privately and confidentially about your dreams and so on and so forth. So that's janetheresa.com, or find me on Facebook. But now, here's Lorena. Welcome to The Dream Show, Lorena.
Hello.
How are you today? Is it this morning? Is it this evening? How are you this lunchtime? Oh. How are you this?
It's a little bit after 8 in the evening here. So it's getting dark, and it's actually, on April 10th, it's snowing heavily outside. Everything is white again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's winter outside.
Is it kind of knee-deep or just like beautiful snow dome snow?
It's just about probably an inch and a half now, and it won't last. We're going to get warm weather at the end of the week, thankfully.
The universe is promising that somewhere. There's going to be some good weather coming in here.
Yeah, it's got to change soon.
Well, as we come out of a long winter for you, and we're waking up to dreams, as usual, I have no idea what dreams our guests bring to the show when we do it in this format. So let's hear your dream, Lorena.
Okay. So this is a dream I had on April 3rd, and I'll just read what I wrote down.
Yes.
Bob and I are sleeping in the barn. Bob is my husband. With the horse, the cows, and the chickens, we are in the hay. I get up and look outside and see that our son, Thomas, who is 19, is returning from a school trip from his high school. He actually graduated last year. There are several busloads arriving and people unloading duffel bags and all kinds of things. There are far more students in Thomas's class in my dream than there actually were. There are about 300 to 400 students as opposed to the actual 50 or 60. They are full of energy, upbeat, brimming. Some go into our house, which is my parents' home, actually, in my dream, where I was raised, and this is a recurring theme in the last few months in my dreams. Then all these students come out, and they arrange themselves into groups. Some are in a structure that has lots of large cubby holes that they are sitting in and looking and leaning out of. Maybe they're windows to a building that suddenly formed. The excitement is apparent. They all begin to sing in wonderful harmony and with amazing energy. My son's school is actually known for its excellent choir. They sing an anthem, uplifting, exciting, with words about happiness, peace, and energy, wonder, and love. My heart feels full. I wish I had my cell phone to film it. It is so great, and I am so proud of these young folks. I look over, and I see Thomas singing his heart out, and then a friend of his, Jillian, in a cubbyhole, singing joyously, and then it's over. Bob, my husband, comes out of the barn having missed the singing. Parents start arriving to pick up kids, and kids go in and out of our house grabbing stuff. They're gone, and I feel like there's no way I'll ever recreate this moment. In the same dream, Bob and I and some other people leave on a trip shortly after these kids come home. We are suddenly in Turkey. The group of people I'm with, I'm not sure who they are, heads down a fairly wide, quite accessible path. It goes down to the sea. I was planning to go with them, and then I decide to take a treacherous climb down the mountain. First, I'm on a pebbly path with steep rock walls. I lean out to take a picture of the turquoise sea, the boats on it, then the rocks at water's edge with people on them. I head down. I'm holding a pillowcase and put my cell phone in it. I have a couple of other small things in it. I think I put my shoes in it. The cliff I climb down is steep and dangerous. Several people are doing it, but it's the type of cliff that in real life people would use full climbing gear to do. I slowly make my way to the bottom, but I'm not terribly afraid. I look at people visiting, playing at the water's edge, mostly Turks, but a few tourists. Normally, I would long to be in the water, but I don't go in. The water is very deep and a dark brown to black at this right close to the shore. After a while, I know I'd better start back up. I begin and soon have to stand aside to let other climbers, these are tourists, go ahead of me. I'm really slow. Shortly after starting, I see two old white-haired men jostling huge planks, 3 inches thick, 12 inches wide, on a narrow ledge. They are laughing. I think, oh no, they'd better leave those planks alone. People might fall. I keep climbing. I look down upon another pass and see the actress, Kristen Wiig. She has a child with her, perhaps a 6 or 8-year-old. Someone has stolen both their cell phones, a Turkish person. He has climbed into a boat with them. He says to Kristen, look how we play with cell phones. He ties them to 2 plastic-colored fly swatters and gives them to a little girl. She's about 2 and a half, a white girl with blonde curly hair. She throws them in the water, and they float because of the fly swatters. This is a bit ridiculous. She trails her fingers in the water and is laughing. I keep slowly climbing, but my bag is really heavy. I realize I have a comforter and maybe clothes in it. Partway up, I give these things to other people. I'm having a sinking feeling. I'll never make the climb. I'm too tired. It's too steep. It was a bad idea, and I've let people down. Bob then appears, my husband, dressed in shorts and a T-shirt, and says, I'll help you make it to the top. I am so relieved. Halfway up, we find a place carved into the rock. Cliff. It is a it's really large. It's like a hotel with beautiful light wooden floors, rock walls, and dark brown comfortable chairs. We go in and I wander around. I then see Bob and our 12-year-old son Nick sitting on a brown leather couch in front of a fireplace. The couch back is to me. They are talking animatedly. I wander some more. I have a small plate of noodles, rice, and tomato sauce in my left hand. I think Bob and Nick are eating as well. I go into a hallway with a mirror, glass shelves, and red accents. I start to descend some narrow stairs that curve. I have my left hand up with the plate on it. A woman appears. She is dark-skinned, wearing a red hijab and a long red gown. She looks Muslim, or perhaps Hindi. She has dark hair, dark eyes that stare at me. She has a T shape of yellow wax on her forehead and down her nose. She grabs my food, and I think she eats it right away. But maybe she hands it off since she's not chewing, and she still looks impassively at me. I fly into a rage, screaming at her, you effing bee, how dare you? You can imagine the words. You effing bee, that was my food, I needed that. She stares at me without moving. Her eyes are half closed, and that was the end of the dream.
Wow, what a stunning ending. what a stunning whole dream, actually. did you say
I was letting my feelings out?
You certainly were, and I'm so glad at that. Good pressure valve.
Thank you.
As always with a dream, just for people listening in there, you know, often it's people that don't... It's those of us that tend to sometimes hold back our anger or our what we regard as maybe our negative or deepest feelings from time to time. We all let them fly, of course, in real life. But if we tend to hold them back from time to time and not let them fly, our dreams can be that point where we actually let them go. And they come out with much more, you know, much more strength and vehemence than they ever would in waking life. And and that's a good pressure valve safety thing. But it does also get us in touch with our real feelings. So we'll definitely look at that when we come to that bit. At that place, Lorena, I just missed one point. Did you say she was wearing a red dress?
Yeah, it was, well, I forget what they call it when a Muslim woman, the long robe that they wear, not a burqa because her face was showing. But, you know, they have the head covering and the long robe, and they were both red, which is unusual for Muslims, I believe.
It is, yeah. But what kind of red was it? Like a bright red, a dark red?
Like a bright scarlet red. Bright. Very vibrant.
Okay, that's, got it. Okay, right. What a huge dream. That you got me busy taking notes there. Like me, you speak fast as well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I was on the edge of my chair. So we've got a lot there, which is great to delve into. And of course, Michael's just written down it's a chador. A chador is the name of the long robe and the. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Thanks.
So the dream always, of course, reflects what was going on consciously and unconsciously for the day or two before. So you had this dream a week ago. So as we go through this, we're looking at what was coming up for you the week or two before there. But it was also interesting, Lorena, that you said at one point that you said everybody went back to your parents' home, the home where you were brought up and raised. And you said that's been a recurring theme recently. Can you remember when that recent recurring theme began? How many weeks, months ago that theme began?
I think around the end of last summer or early last fall. Before that, I dreamed about my parents' house quite regularly, but it was never my house. But at some point last fall, it became my house that I lived in every time I dreamt about it.
Okay, and it was this time round, it was your house. It belonged to you in this dream. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that because that is a recurring theme, it means that to some extent that just is the smaller aspect of the home. If it's a recurring theme, it's something that's been recurring in your life since then. So end of last summer, beginning of last fall, there was a shift or a change So if your parents' house in many cases represents, of course, your own early childhood or the thoughts and beliefs that we grew up with as a result of our having those parents. And so we will work this into the dream. But as that's been a recurring theme, and particularly that house belonging to you, since the recurring theme has been going on, there's a sense of recent ownership within yourself of your upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're relating to that already.
That one I know exactly what's been happening.
Okay.
If you want me to fill you in on how that came about,
yes, that'll be great. Thanks.
Okay, just that I lived there until I was 18. My parents had a very rocky marriage. There was a lot of abuse in that house, and I was one of the key targets. Mm. And so it was a hard place to be. And I met a psychotherapist last year, about a year ago now, and started seeing her. And she does very, very deep work. And we've talked a lot, and we've done a lot of body work about my childhood. And at some point after we had gone into a lot of these terrible memories, the house became mine. And that was around the end of last summer.
Oh, well, congratulations on all that hard work. That was really obviously extremely worthwhile. And isn't that beautiful how it was then reflected in the dream? I now have ownership of that, in the sense of certainly not in the sense of taking responsibility for what happened. That's not how it works. But ownership of, yes, I'm not in denial of any aspects of that, or it hasn't been buried so deep that I haven't known about it. I've now got it all laid out on the table. I can see it. I I have ownership mm-hmm. in that that is part of my life, and no doubt the rest of mm-hmm. your life, including what you're doing now, has been is being growing from that. So that's so we've mm-hmm. we've got that bit in the dream. That's lovely. Now mm-hmm. you said at the beginning of the dream you've got Thomas mm-hmm. coming home, and as if he'd just finished school, but you said he actually graduated last year. Was that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the dream isn't reflecting something that's just happened. It is therefore symbolic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the dream, we've got you and your husband, Bob, sleeping in a barn. Do you often sleep in the barn?
No, okay. Not generally.
What was the feeling of that in the dream? Was it like, why were you sleeping in the barn?
I don't really know. It's odd because I haven't had a dream like that. And we were sleeping on the ground floor of the barn, which is where the big animals, well, all the animals except some barn cats live. And it's very dirty right now. It's spring, right?
Yes.
And there's a pack 2 feet high of manure, and it's wet and disgusting.
Yeah.
So I don't know what on earth we were doing
in there. That's great. I want to help you to understand that because you've given me the information that I need. And one thing the second thing that struck me when you said that was you said, oh, no, it's got all this manure in it. And I immediately thought of mm-hmm. the deep water in Turkey, which you said normally you would go swimming, but it was dark brown mm-hmm. to black. So my mind that made the connection with the deep manure in the barn and the deep dark brown uh-huh. black. So often in dreams, particularly in a long and interesting dream such as you've got, there's often a repeating theme or a repeating motif. It's as if it takes a section of something your dreaming mind is trying to process or understand, and it shows you in one light, and then it maybe moves along at another repeat round. And each time it goes round, it usually, as yours does, actually elucidates and clarifies and begins to problem solve and to provide insight. So to me, that manure would link with the deep, dark brown of the mm-hmm. sea. So we'll remember that going through. The first thing that struck me when you said that was that's where the animals normally are. As you know, we can't take a dream dictionary approach to dreams, but we can sometimes look at some general themes. And you, mm-hmm. you mentioned that you have a farm and that you have animals, so that's part of your life and mm-hmm. your work. But also, when mm-hmm. we're closely related to animals or when we think about animals, we think of animal instincts.
Okay. Oh.
Right. So there's a feeling here at the beginning of the dream that the dream is plugged into your instinctive nature. We're going to come through your instincts. And in fact, at the end of the dream, you're certainly coming from your instincts and getting some stuff off your head. And it can be great having a dream coming from instincts because it informs us what our instincts are, and that can be insightful for us. Then we can make decisions based on that. So here you are at the beginning of the dream and you're asleep and you wake up. So there's a sense of maybe an awakening. We're going to be awakening to some stuff here. We're going to be learning mm-hmm. some stuff about yourself. And we're maybe awakening to some what's happening at a deep instinctive level. And the first thing we notice is that you've actually chosen to sleep there. So you've chosen to sleep in this end of the winter, the dirt, the manure. So, and that actually rings true with what you've already told us about having done the deep psychotherapy work and maybe even continuing it, I don't know. It's that sense of I'm going down into what I have previously considered as the deep, dark, dirty stuff of my life, which we all have, and which is good to uh-huh. get down and say, oh, actually, that isn't dirty, is it? That's just interesting, really deep stuff. Let's sort through this SHIT mm-hmm. and work it out. So there's a lovely openness and willingness to sleep on it, on the manure, and go into the instincts there. And then the first thing uh-huh. that happens, the first thing that comes to you is a very joyful and wonderful thing. You know, to sum up the whole first mm-hmm. bit, it's the singing, it's the harmony. There's a structure mm-hmm. in there, and it's really lovely. So the first thing you notice and you're awakened to is a sense of something really beautiful. And you described mm-hmm. Thomas and the boys as returning. So to me, I thought, mm-hmm. is this symbolizing a return to harmony, a return to joy? There's some sense of, I've been through this deep, dark manure stuff, and I'm awakening now to some instincts and a return of some sense of harmony or joy, even though that goes away again and then the dream continues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You also describe it, Lorena, as an anthem for peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So talk to me, what do you understand by an anthem?
It's something that often everybody knows. Everybody knows the words too. It kind of sums up a feeling of a group of people at a certain time, something that they can all share. Most anthems that I know of, maybe except the Canadian, have a lot of passion to them.
Yeah.
I find ours just a wee bit boring, but they often have a sense of, you know, of passion, of, you know, what we're going to stand up for to them.
Yes.
You know, people's values and beliefs, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what people stand up for and values of and beliefs. And, mm-hmm. and working and a whole group going through a transition together, in a sense, and it may or may not also be relevant, as you said there, that you find the Canadian anthem quite boring in comparison to the anthems of some other countries. So there mm-hmm. may be a parallel there with I'm waking up to something that feels more passionate than I have felt in the past, you know, and I love this feeling of a readiness to stand up, and I feel supported in this. Like there's a big group, and there were a big group. There are 300 to 400 students in the dream as well. So mm-hmm. although they went away, that we're looking mm-hmm. at this aspect now. So that sense of I feel supported at the beginning, there's a returning sense of passion and energy and joy and peace and a feeling of being supported.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 300 to 400 students, what we often do with a number in a dream is knock off the zeros and look at what we're left with, which is 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be, since we're on a theme of returning to joy or returning mm-hmm. to a sense of standing up for passion and what you believe in, there could be a sense of looking at or celebrating 3 to 4 years, 3 to 4 months, 3 to 4.
Oh.
What does that bring up for you?
Hmm. Well, about three to four years ago was a real turning point for me. As far as my health and, okay, so I at about age 50, I was kind of on the edge of this abyss, and I thought, wow, I either have to face this stuff that keeps hounding me or I'm not going to be here anymore. It just really, really, you know, I had a serious addiction. I was really struggling. And, I got help, and that was when things kind of started to turn around. It's still been very up and down since then.
Yes.
With a really big down a year ago, but things are looking up now.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Sure.
So that's thank you for that, Lorena. That really fits in. So you've got Thomas arriving with the 300 to 400 students. So we go 3 to 4 years ago, this return, which brought back a sense of anthem related to that turning point, to that wake up call around your health and the addictions that you've been mm-hmm. working on and journeying with ever since. So there's that sense in the dream, just to recap so far, that the dream begins with, you know, I'm awakening in the, to my instincts and going through the deep manure stuff of my life and coming out mm-hmm. of it with a sense of return to passion, to joy, and to an anthem of standing up for something that I'm passionate about, for standing up for my values. And just before this, the recognition that I went through this turning point 3 to 4 years ago, and there was a sense of mm-hmm. them all arriving, as you say, dumping their duffel bags and everything, and they're full of energy. So it's this sense of, yes, I'm in a sense, maybe I'm also at another turning point in my life, because there's a return of this, yes, the return of this feeling of this is a turning point, it's full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the anthem, yeah. The singing, the joy. So, yeah, so if you're on another turning point now, it's a sense of I can bring into my life the same upliftment that I did through making those choices. Before we move on to the turkey section, I'm just really keen about the cubby holes. What do cubby holes mean to you?
It's funny. They remind me of, you know, daycare, where you put all your, you know, your child's little things in the little cubby hole, and it keeps it all organized.
Yes.
So it's a way of organizing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. They seem like kind of wooden, almost like a wooden shelf where people could just sit each in a frame, or two people in a frame. I don't quite know, or cubbyhole can be a place you can hide away.
Yes.
You know, like we used to have a couch on an angle in the living room, and our kids, I put a comforter back there, and they could go back there and read and be alone.
Ah, yes, that sense of a cubby. Yes, that's right. Well,
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it, Lorena, then? Because you've then got, when you went through the turning point three or four years ago and you may also be doing now, there's that sense of then going back into the way that your mind or your brain has organized your memories and your stuff. There's been the cubby holes, as you say, and some of them it's organized, some of them it's what you've hidden away. It's what you've done to get through in life. You know, we compartmentalize to an extent to get through in life, you know. But it can also be, because that was where the anthem was sung, it can also be a sense of how we organize our lives from here forward, how we compartmentalize other aspects of our life to go forward.
Joy in every compartment.
Yeah, I love it. That is just fantastic. Yeah, I've spring cleaned all of those and they're really happy and joyful. And
one thing about it, I had this dream April 3rd, and April 2nd this year is actually quite a significant date. And I have a lot of support around this date, so I maybe I won't say anything more about it right now, but it is definitely a turning point.
So. Oh, that's fantastic. And it's really amazing, you know, after all these years of working with people with their dreams, that's one thing I've often noticed is that whether or not we remember a significant calendar date, and often we don't, we remember the event, but when was that? What was it? No, it was sometime in July, and you can't remember the date. And when you find out when it was, quite often on an annual basis, our dreams will go over what happened for us on this date. Because I guess your unconscious mind's going, oh, 2nd of June today. What happened on the 2nd of June last year? So I think you're right there. And again, just before we go to Turkey, you said your friend Julie, was it Julienne, was singing?
Gillian. Thomas's friend Gillian, yeah.
Okay, Thomas's friend Gillian. How would you describe Gillian, personality-wise?
I don't know her that well. I've known her since she was a baby because we used to go to the same church with them. Upbeat, loyal. She's got a sister just a year younger. I think she's quite loyal to her.
Yes.
And mischievous, I think.
Mischievous, okay.
I think she's a little mischievous. That's my guess.
So we won't spend too long on her. We could spend ages. But, you know, of all the people that could possibly come up in the dream for attention there, it was Gillian. So there's something there that you're relating to, whether it's that you're getting back more in touch with upbeat or loyal or mischievous. I don't know. But there's some, or if any of those have ever been an issue for you that you're now that are now coming to a sense of harmony in the dream. Okay,
yes.
So when...
You're
identifying with mischievous?
Well, mischievous. I know when I was mischievous when I was young, that was when my mother would crash down on me. Yes.
Ah,
so.
Okay, that's great.
So now I can be mischievous.
You can indeed. You've got the house is yours. You've got ownership on all of that. So that part of yourself, and maybe in the day or two before the dream too, that childhood mischievous self that used to be punished for being mischievous has gained its freedom and has reached that sense of joy and harmony. You're at harmony with that aspect of yourself, so you can go forward being as mischievous as you like to be. So we then kind of repeat the theme to go deeper, I sense, with a turkey, simply because we've got that thing going down to the deep, dark brown, black water. Only this time, whereas at the beginning you were comfortable and had chosen to sleep in the manure, this time it's like, oh, I would normally go and see, but I'm not going in there today. So there's a sense that it's perhaps this this motif or this return part in the dream is going deeper. And you do get something from this part of the dream, and we'll look at that, but you don't actually go into the water. So what does Turkey mean to you in the second part of the dream? Have you been to Turkey?
No, I've never been to Turkey. And the thing I can figure is it's in the news a lot, of course, and along with, you know, Syria and the refugee crisis. And I have a niece who is right now over in one of the, well, she's going between two camps in the hospital in Greece near the Macedonian border. And she's fluent in Arabic, having lived in Amman for a year and a half and learned to read and write and speak Arabic. And so she's in very high demand, and her translation skills are most used with women giving birth. So that whole region has been on my mind, and you know, refugees going here and there and being refused, and the violence that's coming up, and all of that, and the sad, you know, the sad ways they're being treated in some places, and what's happening to children.
Yes,
I think about that quite a bit.
So that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You know, looking at what's happening to children, which. you've got a heart for, as of course of most of the world, but because it's closely related to you, because you've just been with a psychotherapist through the journey of what happened to you as a child. And you've got the double theme there, because you said your niece is helping with women giving birth. So there's that sense of giving birth to something new in the midst of or from all this pain. So it's actually a beautiful parallel with what you're going through as well.
I hadn't quite thought of it that way.
Yeah. Turkey's also an animal, so it's another animal reference.
Oh, yes. And I've raised turkeys before.
Have you? Okay.
I have. They're
what's
rather
the person-
dumb.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the personality of a turkey? Is it mischievous at all?
Not terribly, but they do have feelings, because one day when I was butchering some chickens, one of my female turkeys just sat behind me with her head drooping in the dust the entire time. And I felt like she was very, very sad at what was happening.
So doesn't that fit in beautifully too then? So the turkey can also represent a part of you that has been deeply affected by what happens to other situations, you know, very empathetic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I've never seen the chickens be empathetic, but the turkeys certainly were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lovely feeling. I think, you know, dreams can be have multi-level symbolism, but I think we're basically going in at the angle of your niece, the sense of giving birth and acknowledging and feeling sadness for what the abuse that can and hardship that can happen to little children. And the loss, the sense of, you said refugee, you know, the sense of not having a home, which would have been a theme for you as a child, even though you had a physical home, not having an emotional home. Yeah. So the second part of the dream, we're going through that, and you know it's an accessible path to the sea, and maybe the sea is the unconscious, you know, the vast oceans of the world, the vast oceans of the self, and you're going down that deep and treacherous path that is so treacherous that you'd normally have to have ropes on it, but you are nevertheless going down by yourself. You're prepared for the journey, or you're acknowledging the journey that you've been through, and you're taking just what you need in your pillowcase, which may be a reference to your dreams. It's deep and it's dangerous, but you've chosen to do this, and you're not afraid, which is absolutely wonderful. And I'm just rushing through this, but a little bit, so we can get to the rest of the dream. But what you notice then is, oh, this unconscious is deep and dark and brown, and I'm okay with that. I don't need to go in with it, into it, but what do I do next? I go back up very slowly. So there's a sense of, and earlier on you said to me, I feel, when you were talking about the having been a turning point in your life 3 or 4 years ago, or was it now? I think it was the 3 or 4 years ago reference I wrote down. You said, I felt like I was on the edge of an abyss. And I went down, and there have been some ups and downs since then. So in a sense, in this turkey part of the dream, you did go down into the abyss. And then you've come back up it. So at the time of this dream, you're climbing up from the abyss. And there's two wise men. Always good to have wise people in your dreams, because remembering that everybody in a dream represents something about the dreamer. Well, there's at least two wise aspects here.
Wow. Yeah. And they're wrestling very solid pieces of wood, very big, you know.
Yes.
Big, solid, rectangular pieces of wood.
Yeah. And laughing while they're doing it, even though you're a bit concerned about that. There's a lightness. So you've got the solidity and the laughing as well. You've got, you know, that's almost like, oh, and of course it's a balancing act, isn't it, for them doing that, I guess. So you're as you're ascending from the abyss at the moment and coming up, there's that sense of a balance maybe between the lightness and the solidity, the wisdom. Talk to me about Kristen Wiig, apart from the fact that she's a very funny lady.
Yes. Well, I watched her on Saturday Night Live for years, and then we watched her in a movie last week called Skeleton Twins, and I like her. I think she's really funny. She's not overstated, you know. She's what is it? She's not flamboyant. She's just herself, I think.
Yes.
That's what I often feel like when I watch her.
She's just herself.
She's not overacting. Yeah.
That's great.
She's not, you know. Yeah, she's not flashy or anything, but I think that's why I like her.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's really lovely. So she's also climbing up out of the pit, and she represents a part of the part of yourself that is coming up that is perhaps, you know, understated, not flashy, but just being herself. Mm-hmm. That's the thing you relate to most of all. I don't need to be anything other than myself because that is beautiful. I don't need to be flashy because there's nothing that I feel that I have to overcompensate because I feel I have shortcomings. It is more than enough to be me. It's really, you know, like Kristen, that's a fantastic person. So if she's got a 6 to 8 year old child, how would that relate to 6 to 8 years ago? Have you been sort of, would you say that over the last 6 to 8 years, it's been a journey for you of being more yourself and paring away?
I think, well, eight years ago was probably when trouble was starting for me, I think, you know, between 8 years ago and 6 years ago, things were kind of getting a little harder and a little more tenuous. I was struggling more.
Yes.
But also when I was seven, my mother left the family for good, and that was a very traumatic day in my life. Complete with police and all kinds of awful things. So, and that was when I was exactly seven and a half, I guess.
Yes.
So I wonder if that might be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, you could also read it the other way and say that from 8 years ago you began the ascent. It's been a long ascent, but I think you're spot on there, Lorena. So 6 to 8, age 7, your mum left you, and it was a big thing. There was big drama. There was police and everything. There was the abandonment. So this part. Oh, Skeleton Twins, the movie, the skeletons, the skeletons in the cupboard as well. So this is So the sense of yourself coming out of the abyss related to exploring what happened to you when you were seven also works in, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know what happened in the day or two before the dream, but this whole theme of working with a psychotherapist to take ownership of your childhood again with the house theme. So, and coming out of it as yourself. I mean, we haven't got the time to explore it in the podcast, but obviously there would have been all the compensations that you would have gone through from age seven, thinking I've got to compensate for being, for my mum leaving, for the police turning up, for whatever else was happening. And now it's that sense of, yes, that was a valuable part of potentially character building for me, and that's what I'm doing now, and I'm okay just to be myself because that's a wonderful person to be. So we got, we flip right into flip literally into the real joy of life with the cell phones on the fly swatters. That the little girl in the boat with the two plastic fly swatters with the cell phones on them, she was laughing too. So there's lightness of being. She was 2.5. So, if we're going on the theme of your age, was everything lightness for you when you were 2.5, or are we going back 2.5 years here?
No. When I think this would relate to when I was two. That was when things. When I was just under two, my youngest sister was born, and things really fell apart then. So when I was about two, my mom was first hospitalized for a long time, and we were without her. And I think that, you know, I think that was when things just really took a downturn for our family.
Yeah,
things got after that. I mean, I think my mother just had so many things taken away from her, and when she came back, she couldn't really cope, and the violence started. So,
So would the, although she was laughing in the dream, would the fly swatters somehow relate to the violence, something of swatting and hitting?
There was an awful lot of that, yes. Mm. And it's funny, because I might have dreamt of a wooden spoon instead.
Yes.
that's mostly what I caught.
But you see, what often happens, I mean, that is devastatingly hard stuff, and you've done so brilliantly and wonderfully well and had the courage to go down and face this and coming up out of it, which is wonderful, you know. But often in our dreams, when we break through something, there's often, and it can seem inappropriate, but there can be a lot of laughter or seeing the funny side, and there is no funny side of what you went through. But it's our dreams way, if I reframe it as... we often see the funny side of our strange thinking. Oh, how could I have ever been like that or thought like that? Ha, 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 funny dream, someone laughs, and that's great. But if I go more along the track now of Dalai Lama, funny, you know, the lightness of being, the laughing, it's, you know, the drama of life, despite the depth, we can look at it at that angle. There's a sense of the wise men are laughing, the little girl is laughing. You've got the solidity of the planks. Kristen Wiig is a comic, but she's coming up as herself through hard times. So there's all that I keep coming out, don't I? The words that keep coming out of my mouth are a lightness of being coming up there.
Yeah.
So having been down, seen that, acknowledged it, coming up and working that out. I don't know why the cells were on the end, communication maybe.
When I was between 2 and 2.5 for sure, I think communication with my mother stopped. You know, I was shut down in big ways.
Yes. So that makes sense.
So that,
that 2.5-year-old you in the dream is now like having a bit of fun with that. Like, bang, bang, I'm going to hit back. Oh, it's like the hit back, like the anthem being, you said it's like standing up for yourself and your values again, the anthem at the beginning of the dream. So this is like the little child, like, I'm going to make the noise here. I'm going to hit back. I'm going to come through. There's going to be communication. And straight after that, I had written down that there was in your bag, there was a comforter. That you gave away, but there's a sense of what, you know, the comfort that you've maybe taken or how you've tried, you mentioned addiction, how you tried to find comfort during the years after what you've been through and now giving that away, not having to carry that anymore, giving away what you've had to use to take comfort. And that's the part of the dream where you then said, it's too slow, maybe this has been a bad idea, maybe I've let people down. So again, that's the too slow is the hardness of the journey, and that is a good thing. It's like you're taking the time and you're having the courage to let no stone be unturned, and it's a big, long, slow journey. But one of the things that hits you is, oh, maybe I've let people down. And that's a good thing too, because whether you have or whether you haven't is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the question comes up, so you then consider it. Have I let people down, or do I just think that I've let people down? Do I act as if I've let people down? Or have I actually not let anybody down? But it doesn't matter which one of these it is. It matters that the question has come up because the question has been holding you back. Yeah, and that's the point at which your husband Bob appears to help you to the top. So in a sense, that's the way all the help comes in the dream when you reach that lowest point of have I let people down? So it's an examining that and then accepting the help. And Bob in the dream is an aspect of yourself too. Here's the part of yourself that is willing to go, okay, we've been there, we've worked out all this stuff. There is a lot of stuff, but this is a stage also where we can make our way up to the top and we can stop at this beautiful, amazing hotel halfway up and have all this beautiful food to eat. And that's where your 12-year-old son Nick is there. So Nick, any thoughts about why Nick would appear at that part in the dream?
He's really my focus now. He's been sick for 2.5 years, and he's the one I'm home with full time, really. Mm. Because of his illness. And, but he's starting, he's better now than he was, say, 2 years ago. Much better.
Yes.
So I don't quite know.
No, I can take it from there. That's really good. So there's another reflection of the 2.5 year white girl that you've related to is also the last 2.5 years that you've had your focus on Nick because of his sickness. So there's again a letting out of energy, which we will come to at the end of the dream there around all of that. When would you normally eat noodles, rice, and tomato sauce?
When would I?
Yes.
Or, restaurant probably. I make stuff like that for sure myself. You know, it's quick, right? It's a quick meal. Yeah, noodles. I mean, that's just something you can put on noodles and open a jar of sauce if you're really short for time.
Okay, that's excellent. So that works in, doesn't it, with just a slightly going back in the dream slightly, this journey's too slow. We've now got a quick meal. So this journey's too slow. Okay, let's stop halfway Let's do something quick. Let's get some quick nourishment here. And that's when you then begin to focus on the last 2.5 years with Nick and what you've been through. And then there was a bit about a mirror and a descending narrow curly stairs. But I couldn't hear where the mirror fitted into that.
Well, I just kind of went past it. I looked in it. There were glass shelves. It was gilt, you know, and glass shelves on the edges and red accents. And then I started down some narrow stairs that were well lit, though, and they curved sort of down and away.
Yes.
And I, had the plate up in my left hand at that point.
Oh, that's
beautiful. And that's when the woman appeared.
Okay. And did you say the mirrors were gilt-edged? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So
everything seemed to be trimmed with gold. Yeah.
Trimmed with gold. Okay. So the first time round, there was the word guilt.
Yes.
As in feelings of guilt. And the second time round, it was everything's trimmed in gold, which is more alchemical. So even though consciously you're still thinking this through, your unconscious already went, I can flip guilt to gold. Yeah, I've got the alchemy from that. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Right. So there's a sense there around, and guilt is something we all, it's not actually something that is really real. It's something we all decide that we feel guilty about this or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's an illusion that we examine. So there's a sense at this halfway up point on the couple of days before your dream where a sense of guilt comes up, maybe, because you look in the mirror too. And it may be over quick, slow, quick, you know, but there's a sense of guilt. And that's where the red accents come up, and the woman is wearing a red dress, so we've got red there. What does the color red mean for you?
Anger.
Yeah, I thought it might.
Something really vibrant, you know, like not calming. Red is not calming at all to me. So,
yes.
I mean, some people love it. I like it, but I don't wear it much, and I don't have any red in my garden. It's funny. Mm. I've got lots of gardens, and I don't plant red.
For that reason. That makes a lot of sense. So
I like the blue, purple, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
And the other color there, you said the Muslim or Hindu woman had a T-shape. Did you say yellow wax T-shape across her eyes? Yeah. And what does that mean for you?
It was as if she was decorated for some kind of a ritual or a celebration.
Yes.
I know people do things like henna on their arms and, you know, various decorations and things. So I wondered if it was that, but it also it felt a bit like a disguise too. She seemed very, exotic and foreign to me.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we go in this last segment of the dream from a sense of recognition of some kind of guilt around the color red, around anger. And again, this is not necessarily current stuff. This is stuff that you're now examining from the past. A sense of guilt and an anger that you have yet to express. So underneath a sense of guilt has been a sense of anger that you haven't been able to express. I feel really, really angry about something, and I'm making myself feel guilty about it. Or if I speak out about this anger, it's going to come out as if I'm really guilty about something, or I'm guilty around anger, or I shouldn't be angry. And then you've got her representing us, I guess the archetypal religious Muslim or Hindi, as you say, decorated, ready for a ritual. So I'm peaceful, I'm calm. But as you say, there's a kind of sense of disguise there as well. So that can represent, as you go down, again, you're going down a curly stairs, which are well lit. You know, I'm taking this psychotherapeutic / dream / personal development journey really well because it's well lit now. I'm very conscious of what I'm going through, and I'm meeting the sense of guilt / anger that's been that I have disguised to some extent under a feeling of ritual or religion or Eastern religion type thing. But now there's a sense of she's stealing my food, stealing my nourishment. You know, this aspect of myself. That lady is yourself with her eyes half closed, that has been my disguise, has been draining my nourishment from me, stealing my plate, and I'm over it. I am really over it. I am really telling her, blah, 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 blah. And your last words, after the beautiful, beautiful expletive getting out there, your last words were, that was my food and I needed that. So the bottom line of the dream, Lorena, is I need, I need, I need. I have been doing things to counteract back that need, or I have had false needs, you know, disguised needs. These are my real mm-hmm. needs, and I'm over that. I'm that part of myself is not stealing my energy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So although there was, thankfully and celebratorily, if that's such a word, there was a lot of insight and problem solving in your dream, it did end up not so much with a solution because her eyes were half closed to you, but a letting fly of the energy and your real feelings. So I think the bottom line of the dream was explore those feelings of guilt, old guilt, of anger. Where is the anger really coming from so that you can let it go, so that you don't need to be in disguise? And like Kristen Wiig, you can be just your normal self. You don't have to be over the top. You don't have to do all sorts of things. You can be beautifully as you are. So we're kind of coming out of time. So I want to know at the moment how you feel about all of that, or anything else you could add, or anything else you'd like to ask?
Yeah, that last bit is kind of a doozy. the psychotherapist that I have been seeing has really encouraged me to act on anger in a safe way when I feel it, because I had a lot of anger as a child, and it was sometimes shown, but it was never talked about, you know, never dealt with. And so I've never really learned to deal with it. And it has, I think, turned into depression over the years. And so she has urged me, you know, go outside and thump on the manure pile with a baseball bat.
Yeah, great idea. Oh, like a fly swat.
Yes, and to recognize when it's anger, when it's actually anger, you know.
Yes.
And to deal with it in the moment rather than stuffing it inside.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of really wonderful things in there. You know, one is, as you said, like to deal with it in the moment. So that part of the fly swatting, using the fly swatters in the dream, could be part of that too, the 2.5-year-old you letting go of the anger lightly, or letting go of the anger that's been underlying your focus on Nick for the last 2.5 years. And I also noticed, you know, you said underneath the anger can unexpressed can lead to depression. And you described red as being vibrant, which is kind of like the opposite to depression too. So there's a sense of how can you sort of find the middle path there between if you've got anger or vibrancy on one end and if you've got depression and whatever on the other end, how can you find the middle path where by gradually letting out the anger, it's never anger, it's the passion of the anthem. You convert the anger into the passion of an anthem. So for dream, in song. And at the anthem of what you do stand up for and what you're passionate for.
Right, yes.
Yeah. So maybe the alchemy, the dream alchemy, might be to do something around that, to either write an anthem or write the words for an anthem or find an anthem that speaks to you for those kind of feelings, for standing up for yourself and what you need, and just singing it a lot. That would be the alchemy. And as you say, I would agree with your psychotherapist there too, to explore the anger when it comes up as well as let it out. And the other alternative alchemy, or one you could also do, would be to do with the woman at the end. Let me just have a quick think about this. You could just quite literally visualize the end of the dream, and she takes the plate from you, and then you say, thank you, I do believe that's mine. And she just says, oh, I do apologize, and hands it back, or something along those lines. Work out a visualization where, how could I have been so silly? This is yours. And she just takes off her red, or her red dress then fades to a beautiful gold of alchemy or something like that.
Okay.
I can't be more specific on that because I know we have to try to keep these shows under the hour, otherwise they get a bit too long, and Michael's telling me that's where we're at. So we're going to wrap it then. Thank you for being such a fabulous guest and for sharing not only your dreams but your wonderful insights into the fantastic work that you're doing on yourself and in your life. So thank you very much, Lorena.
Okay, thank you, Jane Teresa, for your time, and Michael's as well.
Thank you. A beautiful dream, beautiful sharing from Lorena, and much for all of us to gain just in the listening, not only, as always, listening to a dream being interpreted and understanding how dreams reflect waking life and the personal development and spiritual development that can come with that, but also the inspiration that we can get through engaging in and listening to somebody else's life story, somebody else's mountains that they're climbing up and down, and somebody else's anthems that they're singing. Thank you for being with me for yet another episode of The Dream Show. The next episode, if you're listening in real time, will be episode 181, which will be due out on the 19th of August, 2016. Have a wonderful month. I know I'm talking with some of you between now and then with your various private sessions. And the rest of you, I'll see you on the 19th of August. Have a lovely month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.